May I say again that it's a joy to have you in Worth Baptist Church today? May I impress upon you the importance of your faithfulness tonight at the training time at 6 o'clock and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7 with our visiting speaker, Dr. Earl Olden. May I say again that in whatever direction the ministry of Worth Baptist Church goes, that you as a member and those of you who are visiting today are having a part in this great ministry. I am particularly and vitally concerned that our radio ministry be a definite part. We are not asking for, nor shall we ask for, contributions from the radio audience. This is a church program. It will be sponsored by the church. And when such time comes as the church cannot sponsor it, it will not be broadcast. We are not out to bleed the public. We are out to preach to them the gospel of Christ. And it's your responsibility and mine to see to it that the job is done. I hope that you'll be in prayer about it. And I hope that you'll be thinking of the part that you can have in some very special equipment that we must purchase in order to continue the broadcasting. And we'll talk more about that next Lord's Day. Now this morning in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, I have one verse that I'm going to read as my text, and that'll be verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Before we read it, I want us to pause in a moment of prayer. One other special request for the Kilman family. Mr. Kilman learned this morning that an uncle was on the way to the hospital and passed away today. Let's remember that family and all of the needs as we pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. It is our prayer today that as we proclaim the truth from this pulpit, the Holy Spirit would overshadow this operation. The Holy Spirit would quicken every heart who shall listen. The Holy Spirit might bring blessings to every soul. May we have no fear or favor of man, but may we, with the boldness that the Holy Spirit equips us with, proclaim unapologetically, unashamedly, without hesitation, the truth of Thy word. Help us to tell it like it is, to people as they are. And may this message today, by the Holy Spirit, bring conviction and bring salvation and bring comfort and hope to this great congregation. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It reads like this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. If time has written anything on the institutions of man, it is written one word, change, change. Men's philosophies have changed in every passing era. For men's thinking is colored by man's environment and man's inventions. The things that surround man, the things that man projects upon his environment to change it, will ultimately alter man's thinking. Medicines and the medical approach and medical treatment of diseases have undergone severe changes in recent days. Did you know that the greatest percentage or a greater percentage of the medicines that are used today were virtually unheard of 15 to 17 years ago? There's been a great change in the medical approach. There was a time when they operated on a man, they made him lie still for 9 days and nine nights, sometimes even longer. Now they cut you open this afternoon and get you up in the morning. medicine has changed. Those of you who have been on special sugar-restricted diets have got to start in another direction, because the cyclamates are supposedly detrimental to your health. So changes are being made daily in the hygienic and medical fields. Not only so, but our educational systems have undergone change. And I might add, to the detriment of the scholars, for we have gone down the road of demoralization on the so-called highway of progressive education, having left the principles of reading, writing, and arithmetic. We have adopted changes in our educational system that have taken us far ashore from our original moorings and our original home base in learning. You know, there was a time when education was given under the direction of Bible men and the Word of God. Our nation started out that way, and such a tragedy that in 1969, we've all but outlawed God from the classroom and thrown the Bible out, and tried to throw prayer out, and tried to ignore God in learning, when the Bible declares the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Where are we going through these changes in the educational system? We're going down, 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 down to that era that will bring us to the end of this age and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. On and on and on it goes. The unending cycle of changes in every phase of human operation. Oh, but I am happy to report to you today, without any hesitation, without any reservation, without fear of being in any way contradicted successfully, that while the world changes, we have a Savior who never changes. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. My text tells the unchanging and unchangeable story that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, past, present, and future. He who was in the beginning with God, the eternal Logos or Word, is the same yesterday and today and forever. He who was creator of all things is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who became flesh and dwelt among us, whose glory we beheld as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water to wine is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the dead to live, is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. My message is based upon the words of my text, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I trust by the Holy Spirit to bring to your thinking three areas of the sameness of Jesus. Area number one, Jesus Christ is the same in the extension of His marvelous grace. Area number two, Jesus Christ is the same in the expression of His matchless love. And area number three, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the exercise of His magnificent power. Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the rock of ages, the bright and morning star. Jesus Christ who became flesh. Jesus Christ who died on Calvary's tree. He is the same in the extension of his marvelous grace. You see, according to the Bible, and that's the only textbook that Worth Baptist Church has. Amen. And I don't apologize for it. I'm bragging about it. Amen. For this we believe to be the infallible, inspired, unadulterated Word of God, not just containing the truth, but is the truth from the first word of Genesis to the last word of the great revelation of Jesus Christ to John on the Isle of Patmos. And this Bible tells us that sin made its debut in the Garden of Eden. And so did grace. What do you suppose it was that inquired of Adam's whereabouts in the Garden of Eden? It was grace. It was grace that asked the question, Adam, where art thou? It was grace that traced Adam's wayward steps of disobedience. And beloved, it was the grace of God that slew that sacrificial lamb whose skins covered the nakedness and sin of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. We could go today around the world. If we could go to other countries where there are false religions abounding, you know, we could go to this tree or that tree or this stone or that stone. And there we would see blood spattered all over the tree or all over the stone or all over a monument somewhere or all over an altar. If we were to ask a native of those lands, why this blood? The answer would come back that there at that point has been made a sacrifice for sin. Oh, I thank God, and it's only by God's grace, that we are not in a land of darkness and superstition. Did you ever ask yourself why you were not born in Africa, or India, or China, or one of the underdeveloped countries of the world? I'll tell you why. The marvelous grace of God has brought you to a Christian land and out of a Christian home and out of Christian surroundings. The grace of God. For those people do not know yet that the blood of that first sacrificial animal in the Garden of Eden pointed to the blood of Calvary, the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Oh, I'm so happy to report to you today. And I wish that I had 10,000 tongues to tell it in. And I wish I could tell it all over the world. That all of the blood and all of the sacrificial animals and all of the sacrifices and all of the monuments and all of the altars have been drowned in the blood of Emmanuel, God's Son, for sinners slain. For he's the ultimate, the supreme, the final sacrifice. It was God's grace that slew that animal that day and made an atonement for the sins of Adam. Sin has continued its devastating march of destruction down through the ages, but so has grace. For it is written in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You and I have sinned because we are by nature sinners. We are by birth sinners. It's unimaginable what we would do outside the grace of God. We are sinners. But you know, God's grace has been extended to us. And I report to you today that there's not a man alive who is outside the reaches of God's marvelous grace. The great George Whitefield was a scholar of the Oxford School. But you know, in England, they outlawed him from the pulpits of that great country. So he went out into the wild to do his preaching. And one night, while he was preaching, there came an old ruffian and rascal, degenerate, with his pockets loaded down with rocks, to literally rock and stone to death the great George Whitfield. George Whitfield mounted that self-styled platform. George Whitfield began to pray. And the old ruffian said to himself, well, I can't throw rocks at him while he's praying. And then George Whitfield opened the Bible and he began to read the text. And the old ruffian and rascal and degenerate said to himself, why, I can't stone him while he's reading the Holy Bible. And then George Whitfield went out on a tyrant, preaching against sin and proclaiming the grace of God. Something happened to that old ruffian, that old degenerate who came to stone the great George Whitfield. And this was his testimony. I could not stone a man who was preaching the grace of God. So he told George Whitfield after the service, Mr. Whitfield, I came here with a full intent of stoning you to death. But when you prayed, I said I couldn't stone you while you were praying. And when you read the scripture, I said I couldn't stone you while you read the scripture. And when you preached the marvelous grace of God, I said I can't stone you while you're preaching. And Mr. Whitfield, I want you to know that I came here to break your bones with rocks and stones. But the grace of God has broken my heart. And then and there on the spot, the old degenerate was saved. How? By the marvelous grace of God. Plus nothing and minus nothing, for we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are given instruction from the Bible by God's grace. Paul writes in Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you today? Where are you today? What is your status in life? How much do you own? What are you worth? Where do you stand in the community? Let me remind you that whatever you are today, it's because of the grace of God. For Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I am what I am by the grace of God. No wonder the poet was moved to write, oh, to grace, our greater debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the extension of his marvelous grace. Now, in the second area of our thinking, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the expression of his matchless love. Now, if sin and grace made their debut in the Garden of Eden, so did love. Love that sends a daddy out to work and make a living for his children. Love that causes a mother to stand in an all-night vigil to mop away the perspiration from a sweating brow. Love that binds the hearts of devoted ones together. But with all of the strength of man's love, it is so imperfect, while God loves with a love that is amazingly perfect. For God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son for you. How can we define love? In my humble judgment, I submit that the only way we can define love is to say that love is the most indefinable attribute that God possesses. We cannot define it. We must experience it. God extended His grace to Adam as an expression of His love. God extends His grace to all the members of Adam's race as an extension and an expression of His love. God extends His grace to you only because He loves you. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but dearest of all, that Jesus loved me. John put it this way in his first epistle, chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If, beloved, you have any doubt, any dismay, any question in your heart or mine that God loves you, I beseech you to take a second look at Calvary's cross, for there emblazoned against a sky made dark with sin is God's message to a sin-cursed world. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And the message from the cross in every language is the message that God loves you with a matchless love. And then in area number 3, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever in the exercise of His magnificent power. We need more than grace and love. We need power to execute what grace and love instituted in the long ago. And our unchanging, unchangeable Christ has that power today. He said to His disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." I hasten to report to you today that if you are lost, He has power to save you. If you are discomforted, He has power to comfort you. If your body is sick and writhing in pain, He has power to heal you. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. The same power that He exercised to create the world, He exercises to maintain the universe in this hour. The same power that He exercised to deliver Israel from Egypt's bondage, He exercises today to deliver every sin-captivated heart and life. And hear me when I say it. The same power that He exercised to heal those who were lame and blind and crippled and feverish, He exercises today as the physician at work healing those who are sick. And oh, I tell you in double tone today, with double emphasis, with all the strength that I can muster, I tell you that the same power that Jesus Christ exercised when He was hanging on the cross, when the penitent sinner said to Him, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," the same power that Jesus exercised to say to him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise," is the power that He exercises today to save every penitent sinner and wash away every dirty, filthy sin of every member of Adam's race. That same power is sufficient to save you today. He exercises His marvelous power in the regeneration of never-dying souls. Paul put it this way in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. That means completely. All that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He lives to extend his marvelous grace to you in this hour. He lives to express his matchless love to you in this hour. He lives to exercise his magnificent power for you in this hour, today, 1969, right now. He exercises that power. He expresses that love. He extends that marvelous grace for whatever your needs are, physically, materially, financially, spiritually, medically, whatever your needs are. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can do for you what he did for that penitent thief on the cross. And it's just as simple as A, B, C. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That means you. C, confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And that means you. You know, I was thinking this morning, when we all get to heaven, we are not going to hear anybody say, look what I've done. Look how far I've come. Look how many good things I've accomplished. Look what I've built. Look how I brought myself to heaven. No, it's going to be a different story in that day. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be all glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ will get all the glory in that day. And we shall fall down before him and place our crowns at his nail-pierced feet and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, to him all majesty ascribe. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Are you going to be there? You are not going to be there by being a member of this church or any other church. You are not going to be there by your own goodness or by your own righteousness. If you are there, you'll be there by the marvelous grace of God. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we ask this morning that the preaching of thy word would be honored because thou hast promised to bless it, not because of the deliverer, but because it has been delivered. Not by reason of the preacher, but by reason of the fact that it has been preached. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit, the great convictor, the great doctor of our souls, would be at work in these moments. For we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wouldst bring to their knees those who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see the extension of thy marvelous grace, the expression of thy matchless love, the exercise of thy magnificent power in the redemption of lost souls today. And Father, for those who are saved but who are not with Thee where they should be, who are not in the ministry of the church as they should be, who are not winning the lost as they should, who are not burdened for souls as they should be, who are not in the place of service that they ought to be, bring them today to an altar prayer. And dear God, for those who are outside the fellowship of the church, may the Holy Spirit speak to them to bring them into the membership of Worth Baptist Church, to be a part of this great host, preaching the gospel of redeeming grace, is our prayer in the name of Him who is the same yesterday and today and forever, because we ask it in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving.